Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Merry New Year.
Happy New Year.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, shit. Here we go. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, December 30, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show New Year's Eve Spectacular on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. It's day 345 of the Biden-Harris administration. I hear talking in the background, although I'm not sure if this is because there's a technical problem, so I'm just going to keep going. 313 days until the 22 midterms. I'm on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. Yeah, it's our big second annual New Year's Eve spectacular. And because we're a bunch of weirdos, we're recording this the day before New Year's Eve. So it's New Year's Eve here. Yeah. But who the fuck cares, right? We did this last year to great success with constant references to the porn movie that was shot in Jody's backyard.
I forgot.
That was last year's big event. So let's see. Who's here today? First up, joining me here in the refrigerator, hello, Johnson.
Pursuing the agenda of genocide, here's Kimberly.
Hi, it's Kimberly Johnson from our Friday After Party and the Start Me Up podcast, patreon.com/startmeup.
Hello.
We're so comfortable here with COVID. We're loving COVID here in the refrigerator. COVID is totally not a point of concern in this household, right?
No, we don't care.
Yeah. Okay.
You're misting everything that comes through the door with bleach, aren't you?
Oh, by the way, it's the Goth Ninjas. It is, of course, Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, patreon.com/from the bunker, along with honorary Goth Ninja. The great Sean Barton is also here from the Bunker podcast. Hi, Sean.
Yeah. Good morning, afternoon, Yay! And good evening.
Sean, if you check your doorstep, there's a black turtleneck and a pair of sunglasses and a beret.
How did you know that I was on it?
Oh, look, T-Rex is here, too. Astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Oh,
God.
Sorry, I got something in my throat there.
All the dogs are
my
here.
God.
Okay.
Who let the dogs out?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, the dogs are here.
I have just learned that there are 10 dogs.
They're thrust in every possible back corner.
They're shoved in every possible room.
Okay.
It's like the Catholic family from The Meaning of Life on Monty Python, just with dogs.
Yeah, pick that up
they
for me, darling.
They just keep dropping out.
Mary in Ann Arbor is here, too. Speaking of all things dogs.
I need a theme song. I don't know anybody that could do one for me.
Yeah, I don't have a theme song either.
Well, and also Steve in Ann Arbor is here, right? Steve in Ann Arbor.
Welcome,
Steve.
Hi,
both first-timers on the show, both Steve and Mary. And, of course, you know Mary from Rocky Mountain Mike's music here. Sitting right over there, it's photographer, bowler, NASA geek, master of the song parody, the lovely and talented Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yay.
And
thank you, boss.
And an
elegant curtsy.
In a couple minutes, we're going to be playing Mike's best of reel from 2021. But last but not least, here's my Tuesday co-host, radio news legend, It's the great Buzz Burbank. You said Buzz Burbank. Buzz.
You said it all.
All right, welcome. Well, all right.
I always do.
We're all here. So what's happening, Buzz?
You know, because this is our end of the year show, I thought maybe we could sort of recap the year in some of my favorite jokes that'll remind us of where we've been over the last 12 months.
Perfect. Perfect.
And what a year it was for both me and Bob. And we're not exactly sure how this happened, but we now have custody of Britney Spears. I don't understand it. And you remember the shirtless guy in the fur hat, the QAnon shaman?
Yes.
He got sentenced to 4 years in prison for his part in the January 6th insurrection. Mm-hmm. He pled guilty to 3 felonies: violent entry of a restricted building, civil disorder, and wearing horns before Memorial Day. The January 6th investigation got rolling this year, and it's still moving right along. In fact, just before this show, Steve Bannon was charged with contempt of hygiene.
Yeah. One of my favorite jokes of the year right there.
Yeah. A lot of debate this year about the U.S. leaving Afghanistan, and I'll tell you, I feel the same about Afghanistan as I do about Donald Trump Jr. In both cases, the pullout came too late.
This is a family show.
We're not there yet. And it was in this year, 2021, that we learned that Donald Trump tested positive for COVID-19 and didn't tell anyone.
Wow. Yep.
But according to his wife, Melania, it's not the first time he's brought home a disease. So,
ew.
He's used to it.
Ew.
Is that another Don Jr. joke?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh tested positive for COVID also. Now, he had been vaccinated, and that had doctors scratching their heads. They were wondering, who paid off his mortgage? That was the question on the minds of doctors. Some bad news. It was a series of it, really, for Mark Zuckerberg this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, in one case, really bad news.
Yeah.
His doctor told him he has algorithmia. Colorado Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert revealed that she once gave birth in her pickup truck. And that's how we got Louis Gohmert.
She didn't scream or nothing.
That's right. Our smartphones have gotten really smart, haven't they? Now whenever news pops up about Joe Manchin, my phone automatically switches to dark mode. And finally, it wasn't until this year that we realized that we had misunderstood Nancy Reagan all along. Turns out her actual motto was just say blow.
It's the best of Rocky Mountain Mike. And Mary in Ann Arbor.
Everybody now. Green, green, just Marjorie Green. She wants to get up in your grill. Green, green, just Marjorie Green. She drank too much from her own spill.
The Bambalocity Anarchy Guarantee. If you and your psychotic hillbilly friends' accommodations aren't right, we'll make it right. From the price, to the room, to the trip. You'll never overthrow alone.
Bye-bye, blog. Hello, happiness. I think Trump's a-going to jail. We all live in a Delta quarantine.
Wow.
Delta quarantine.
Yep.
Delta quarantine. We're voting on a Tuesday night. They let you know that you have no rights. I know.
Oh, yeah.
They're hooked on their stealing. They're high on their cheating and statues of Robert E. Lee.
Well, he went into a restaurant and wouldn't even finish up his plate. He said, they've gone and laced my salad with some Hidden Valley DNA.
I see the vax people turn their heads and cough. I'm terrified they're in my way.
Now Brandon and Karen,
notes.
Two American sore losers in the heartland.
You see, I've been taking medicine for horses, it's lame. Cause I don't want a shot in my veins. In the red states,
They're taking drugs for their manes, cause they don't know how to say nay. I'll die, 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 die. Hope I don't die, die.
It's his testicles, testicles. His oversized testicles. Let's hear about his genitals. It must be like to this walk. For that state's evidence, and he's losing ground. His support fins, they're on the right, babe. Now that Matt Gaetz,
yeah,
going down.
Woo.
Oh, that's a nice
one. Oh, man. About Mike, Mary in Ann Arbor, Steve in Ann Arbor, right in there too. Oh God!
And, that was a good year.
Megan Crotty here. Ashboro,
yeah.
North Carolina.
I didn't make the cut this year, so there's that.
Next
you didn't,
year.
Wait a minute, you didn't record anything this year.
You didn't ask me to, so there's
Here we go with this. I'm sorry, I'm too busy making tires.
It's the airing of grievances. Bearing of grievances.
Yeah, what's next?
Too busy tracking down gifts of the Michelin Man.
Feats of strength. Think I'm
next. Dressing up as the Michelin Man.
I want to get the general sense of the room in terms of the coming up year as we're looking to 2022. The problem here is that we've got a year that if you spell it the wrong way, it comes out 2020, comma, T-O-O, which is probably... Probably not the thing that we want to project forward.
Or 2020 Roman numeral 2.
Yes, exactly. Right, that, right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We don't want it to be a sequel.
I remember you buzz singing last year, got a feeling 21's going to be a good year.
Yeah, yeah. I think I recently sung, got a feeling 21's going to be a good year.
Relatively speaking.
Right, right. Well, you know, that's the whole thing about 2021. We went into 2021 thinking that with the vaccines around the corner that we were going to be out of it, and that lasted all of, what, 3 weeks? I think we all got vaccinated.
Like that, but you know what? It was better. I mean, we have to acknowledge that parts of the year, and there were things that happened this year, the vaccine distribution, Biden taking office despite the insurrection on January 6th, the progression of the January 6th investigation. There are, maybe not as fast as it should be, but at least it's moving.
Yeah.
You know, so there were good things about the year. It's ending on a very sour note because of the pandemic, obviously.
Yeah, there were a lot of good news stories from this past year that I think get buried under the avalanche, the fire hose of news. Right. Which unfortunately continues now that Donald Trump is out of office. I don't know why. I don't know why we're getting buried in news every damn day, but I guess it's just the way the world is as we careen toward the apocalypse. Any of you seen...
We got to see Greta Thunberg dance.
That's true. Well, you know what? I'm going to be the Debbie Downer, and I'm going to go along with Jim Gaffigan. Because he basically described 2021 as a baby's diaper that just keeps filling up and filling up and filling up. I'm going to go with that one.
As soon as you change the diaper, it fills up again, right? That was his joke about 2021.
I think it's sort of both in a way because there's some really good hopeful things going on as well.
And
yes, there are.
The hardest thing about that is watching things that we thought would be okay still not be okay. I guess maybe we had too high of expectations.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just it. I think we live in a very turbulent era, and the turbulence doesn't know when it's a new year. It doesn't know when we've changed the calendar. No. So there's that. But I mean, just in terms of some good news stories, let's talk about some good news stories here.
Sean and I don't have COVID.
That's also wonderful news. Yeah.
Steve and I never caught COVID ever.
So far, neither have we. I mean, we were exposed
and we didn't catch it. So
I actually think I'm the only one in the bunch who's had it.
I think so.
Yeah, Mike, you had it, right?
Yeah.
I came down with it 3 days after I got my first shot.
But despite that, 8.47 billion people were vaccinated globally this past year. In addition to that, scientists revealed that cheese isn't bad for you. That was
That's good.
That's fantastic. Because my brother came over yesterday during our show and dropped off a cheese board. So
enjoy.
Eat up.
That's good.
Because we're obsessed with politics here, we have a big block of cheese in the lobby of our apartment. So you can come. Anyone can come in and sample it, just like Andrew Jackson. Oh, the human mind was wirelessly connected to a computer. See, that's listed as good news. I put that in. I'm not sure yet. That's in the category where I don't know if that's really good news. Donald Trump was banned from Twitter. How about that?
That was a really good thing.
That's a good thing.
The overall reduction.
And Steve Bannon got indicted. So
yes,
and with no chance of getting a pardon. So
Right. My favorite thing about Donald Trump being banned from Twitter is when Lawrence O'Donnell trolls Donald Trump about being banned from Twitter. That's my favorite thing. Disgraced former president who's no longer allowed to use Twitter because he's a sociopath. That's usually the beginning of every Lawrence O'Donnell A block.
Yeah, and that's taken the fire hose of news away from Trump, I think. I think a lot of the fire hose now is the virus.
That's what I was going to say about
There's still some January 6th blowback to deal with, but Trump himself has been somewhat muted.
I mean, just there's been an overall reduction in his big floppy orange face. Horrible goose honk of a voice. It's been so nice. I mean, because it was torture.
Yeah, it really
just
was.
Just like every single day. Just like completely infantile baby talk, like idiot. Right. We were having to, and it's just been.
And the way he would go, we love our T-Rex. Don't we love our T-Rex?
Yes, we do. Of course we do.
Hey, listen. You all with my tiny arms.
Tremendous.
Well, here's some good news from the Netherlands. We always love the Dutch news. The Dutch bee hotels helped bee populations remain stable. So that's good news. Good news from the Dutch. Thank you,
We're
Dutch.
Holding the line.
Yeah.
I love their coffee shops.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Was that allowed?
Is that an Airbnb and bee?
It's an Airbnb and weed.
Here's a story for Rocky Mountain Mike and anyone who loves the space program. NASA produced oxygen on Mars. That's a big deal.
That's good for rich people.
Another story got buried there.
I heard that story from John Fugelsang, of all people.
Yes. Yeah. John was listing that as one of his top stories of 2021.
It's a step in manufacturing water in space.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also, the world's first 3D printed school opened its 3D printed doors this past year. Wow.
Tiny little people? How tall are they?
Yeah. Tiny people.
The school for kids that can't read good.
Sadly.
Sadly,
there was no paper left for books. So.
I'm
concerned about the toxic off-gassing of 3D printed substances.
Now you're just buying trouble, David.
T-Rex, here's what I'm concerned about. They literally found a fetus egg of a dinosaur.
Oh, yeah. Right. That was, I saw that. Yes. That was great. Yeah.
And Mike Pence has demanded that it get, a full education.
But the thing is, to quote Jeff parents. Goldblum, first it's oohs and ahs, and then it's running and screaming.
From one of our favorite disgraced dynastic families, the Met has removed the Sackler name from its galleries. Those of you who know about the opioid epidemic know that the Sacklers are... Sacklers
that's
very much
the
responsible.
That's about the only slap on the wrist that they're going to get.
Yeah, well, actually, no. I mean, the other good news is that they can be sued now. Well, here's some more good news. This is also in terms of the climate crisis. You know, I want to talk about Don't Look Up here in a second, but before we dig into that, United Airlines flew the first passenger aircraft with 100% sustainable fuel. So that's a small step in the right direction. We need to hear this. The Oscars had their most diverse...
From Ted Cruz.
Yeah. The Oscars had their most diverse year ever. Electric vehicles outsold diesel for the first time in Europe. And, of course, the last two words doing all the heavy lifting in that headline in Europe. Here, we're just watching.
They don't even need cars because they have really good trains.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Let's see. Renewable energy had a record year. The International Energy Agency revealed that 2021 was renewable energy's biggest year ever, with roughly 290 gigawatts of renewable energy generation installed globally, a.k.a. loads of lovely wind turbines and solar panels, despite the pandemic and the rising cost of raw materials. All great news. So that's some good news from 2021.
Progress.
Oh, one more thing that isn't on this list that I just now remembered. And this is another big deal when it comes to the climate crisis. Nebraska, red state Nebraska, passed a rule this year, late this year, making it carbon neutral by 2050. I can't emphasize
Nebraska.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, Nebraska. I can't emphasize how important that is, that there's a red state that's now making these kinds of moves. And maybe this indicates that finally, the Republicans might put one foot in the water and get in the increasingly desalinated water.
Maybe they just thought they were kicking all the carbon people.
No. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I think that's what it is.
It could catch on in other red states if it succeeds there. So it's a good thing.
One of the things, I mean, we'd be ignoring the gigantic Adam McKay size elephant in the room if we didn't talk about a movie that just came out over the past couple of weeks, and that is Don't Look Up. Written and directed by Adam McKay. You guys know Adam McKay from his previous work, The Big Short. This was kind of in the same. This movie, Don't Look Up, was in the
Succession.
Same.
Succession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Don't Look Up is in the same style as The Big Short, where they take on a particular issue that's hot in the news, and then they really deconstruct it through wicked, pointed satire. And this movie, it's getting a lot of criticism, and I guess some people have a point when they say that, it's over the top, and it's really shrill.
It's supposed to be.
It's a documentary. Yeah.
Exactly.
It
didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, no.
It's funny, though, because people are sort of falling on both sides of it right now. Some people think that it's trying to be too political, and then other people are saying it doesn't address it enough.
Yeah.
It's not direct enough.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Anytime you get into this territory, there are always going to be people who are like, you didn't say it like I would.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Totally. Right.
It's like, well, make your own movie, asshole.
Right.
Yeah. I think the movie was true to form in that, spoiler alert here, all the evil people got away at the end.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, but they got easy.
Did you see at the end of the credits?
Yeah. Not entirely.
Did you watch after the credits, David? Because that's important.
That was
two extras after the credits. You know, I'd like to say, I see a lot of people saying that it's heavy-handed, that it wasn't funny.
It was funny. It was very
right,
funny.
But those are subjective.
I love it.
That's
really
like a subjective opinion. And like, you may not think it's funny, you may think it's funny, but regardless of what everybody thinks about whether or not it was funny, it literally was a mirror being held up to us and pointing out our stupidity.
Right.
And for anyone who thinks it's heavy-handed, take a look at the fucking world and the weather and what's happening with climate. It's all happening right now. It's not as fast as a comet coming and hitting the Earth, but it's happening. And so to me, I feel like whether or not you think it's funny, it is. It's saying, look how we're being idiots in the face of this real threat.
Here's a question.
Time magazine said it with the distinction is that the comet is just a shot in the head. And climate change is slow strangulation.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Absolutely.
What were you going to say, Buzz?
I saw it as a movie about the state of democracy. I saw it as a movie inspired by the COVID crisis with Leonardo DiCaprio as Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
As Meryl Streep as Donald Trump, as Jonah Hill as Don Jr.
Yes. Yep.
I loved it when Jonah Hill just said, "You're all a bunch of stupid rednecks."
That's what he really
felt like. His character was too awful, though. I felt like there was.
He got the job because of his mommy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Completely horrible, but I feel like he could have at least.
He's Ivanka.
Don Jr.
On first
there
viewing,
were some things I felt were too broad.
Yeah, exactly. That was my view on
and
the
I
first viewing.
I felt like the nature jump cuts to like hummingbirds in flight, and I felt like
those were important reminders of the beauty of
what
the Earth.
Planet is. A planet is not just people on talk shows.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I have a character like
not just Kate Blanchett.
Nice. Yeah, I initially thought it was too broad. I watched it a second time and loved it. It's not perfect, mm-hmm. of course. I think it's important in a way, but is it important? And that's the question I want to put to the group is, will this movie make any difference?
No.
Will its message impact anything?
No, it's just because it's now a media commodity.
Maybe,
we all digest it and go,
The thing is, at this point, does any one media thing make a difference?
Right. No, nothing does.
Probably not so much.
Oh, this show does.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to solve all the problems today, right now, in this hour. Yes, absolutely.
We've done it before, Buzz.
To me, one of the biggest takeaways from this movie is that to a certain extent, we're all guilty of this.
All of us.
We have all played along with some of the things that they were commenting on in this movie. And so in that respect, I think if there was any animosity toward this film, it was because it hit too close to home.
That's what
it was
think,
like, oh my God, I've done that. And now I feel embarrassed. Yes. I feel mortified that I participated in that sort of meme culture. And one of the other things I was noticing too, is there were a lot of people who were making a big deal over David Sirota's participation in the movie. And I wanted to emphasize too, that while he did have a hand in it, it was only in terms of mentioning a log line to Adam McKay, the writer-director, while he happened to have been already working on the movie. So David Sirota, they're talking on the phone. David Sirota says to Adam McKay, hey, you know, if there was an asteroid coming to Earth, no one would give a shit. And that was that sentence the that concept. I just spoke was basically the extent of David Sirota's participation. But I noticed that in the wake of the movie really hitting this past week, that people were really focusing on the David Sirota aspect of this and not the message of the movie. Right. And I felt
like here you have a movie whose message is that humanity is missing the point.
Yes.
And the people miss the point of the
Exactly.
I went in expecting not to like it because I really don't like David Sirota.
Me neither.
I don't trust him. I think he's shifty and a creep.
He's a fucking asshole. Yeah.
But you know what happened? You know what came out of this? David, speaking of David Sirota. He's had me blocked since 2013, and I basically tweeted what we were just talking about, how don't get distracted by David Sirota. There's a bigger message here. Don't prove the point of the movie by focusing on Sirota. Turns out David Sirota unblocked me this week.
I have been unblocked.
Wow, congratulations. Now
after the movie did save the world.
They work out together now.
Yes. Now David Sirota is going to be on the Wednesday show from now on.
Attaboy.
I'm kidding.
You know,
I
first became aware of him when he was a regular on Al Franken's show. And his jingle was My Sirota.
Yeah, that's right. I definitely remember that. Yeah. He was a regular on Al Franken. So Don't Look Up. I strongly recommend it. It's going to frustrate you in places. It's going to make you embarrassed to be a part of all of this in some places.
But all a part of it.
Yeah,
so,
it's all of us. So necessary to see it.
I sat back at one point and was like, God, that Ariana Grande can really sing.
She really can.
Here comes the fucking comet. You know,
I think for Trump supporters, the message is, if you elect a woman for president, we'll all die.
Mm-hmm. Right. Totally.
And my view is Melanie Lynskey is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, can you imagine?
She's also on Yellow Jackets, and she's in this movie, and she's awesome.
Yeah. You know, I want to point out, I saw this on Twitter, and I don't know that it resonated with everybody when they were watching it, but what's her name? I don't remember the character name, but the woman scientist. What's her name in real life?
Jennifer Lawrence
was screaming that military guy kept charging for things that were free.
Oh,
and someone said it was basically a metaphor for the military.
Yeah.
They're getting all this money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just thought that was an interesting take on that.
Yeah, we live in an environment where, you know, a military contractor can produce zero over the course of a year and still get an increase in their budget the following year.
But the post office can't.
One of the big disparities. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, so going from the super important to the super duper stupid. One of the highlights of 2021 on our After Party podcast, we discovered a musician this past year called The Kiffness is his name. And what The Kiffness does is The Kiffness takes sounds that cats make and sounds that dogs make, basically all kinds
sounds.
Of weird animal sounds, and then turns them into music. And somehow this year, this guy got his hands on this one cat doing that funny cat noise they're about to have a hairball. But the funny cat noise sounds like he's saying, I'm Big Billy, the biggest wet willy. I'm going to go clearly. And that's the noise that the cat makes. And so The Kiffness turned that noise into a song, and sure. It is absolutely brilliant. Here we go. This is the Kiffness and the Biggest Wet Willy.
I can't play this song.
I am a big Billy, the biggest wet Willy. I'm gonna go clearly, man. So clearly now, voluntary, not so silly. We've gotta make it up somehow. Oh, the Willie knows the way to go so clearly till the break of dawn. Gonna make it, gonna break it, gonna keep on.
Kiffness.
Oh, I love that. Send that to me, Bob, please.
That is absolute genius. A must follow on Instagram.
Wait, what about the one O Long Johnson?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm only going to play one. I'm not going to do
it. He does one with
O
Long Johnson.
Oh, yeah, he does another Long Johnson one. Yeah.
That's pretty good, Kimberly.
And I guess that's when cats are about to have a hairball. They make that noise. Is that the consensus?
Sometimes they just make that sound when they're
pissed.
Feel threatened.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. So this cat must have been so threatened. It was going.
Well, it was
Big
wearing.
Billy.
It was wearing this fucking shirt that had a bow tie. I think
it was wearing a
off.
Shirt. Oh, that's why. Yeah, you don't put a shirt
basically
on your.
You're entertaining us with the sounds of an animal in distress.
Thank you, David.
That was a cold-hearted fucker.
For the entertainment of us all.
That's right.
Don't look up.
All right, so why don't we, and you know what, thank you, Kimberly, because that is exactly the point. We go from the climate crisis, talking about this very serious satire, right into a cat singing a song about the biggest wet willy. All right,
we know what's important.
So let's
see,
go.
I do this in my head anyway, like anytime there's a huge, you know, horrible news story, like, you know, trains, I mean, like the giant cargo ship stuck in the mouth of the harbor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I'm like, well, that day, and it's like the same, you know, like the same deal when he was like, could you make that comet land on my ex-wife's house?
Like, that's a problem, by the way.
There's like a phantom bad morning host in my head.
Yeah.
Well, that new variant, I wonder if it could like get me out of taking the kids to school.
Oh, and by the way, if you turned off that movie right as the credits started, you missed two extra scenes. I'm just saying, yes, I don't want to spoil what you missed, but that's
it. I also would like to underscore what I thought was the most poignant line of the movie, and that was, we really did have it all, didn't we?
Yes, and that, oh my God, the
just
scene.
Just like Bogey and Bacall.
Yeah, that scene in particular, Buzz, was.
Play the cat song again.
Yeah. Quick.
I've got more. Don't tempt me. You guys know if there's a song that has
about
a
do you remember when they had the false alarm on Hawaii when they're like the North Koreans have launched their missiles?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember that distinctly.
Man, I would have been like mainlining heroin, smoking cigarettes, like
people
you
were
know,
doing
like,
that. Yeah. People were humping
absolutely
on the roof.
Well, so let's go around the room and have everyone weigh in on the biggest news story of 2021. Is it the COVID vaccines? Is it the insurrection? Or is it neither of those things? Let's start with Kimberly Johnson behind me, and we'll go from there. What do you think, Kimberly? What's
I'm
the biggest news story?
I'm going with the insurrection.
You're going with the insurrection. Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the most common answers here. Let's go to Jody on the show.
Omicron.
Really? Are you serious,
Mama,
Jody?
Mama, take my Omicron. No, I'm seriously, no. Yeah. Yes, the insurrection, of course. Yeah. It was on my dad's birthday. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We're talking about the number one song suggestion.
That will never get made.
Mama, please take my Omicron away.
What about you, Sean Barton?
The number one?
Yeah,
other
like
than
the, big,
the insurrection.
Biggest,
other than.
No, it can be the insurrection. It can be anything.
Yeah, I mean,
what a show.
I mean,
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest story. Do I think anything's going to happen from it? Absolutely not.
I'm
a Debbie Downer with the whole thing.
Stabbing him in the eye right now.
Speaking of Debbie Downer, what about you, T-Rex? David.
Oh, obviously, our continued failure to properly address the pandemic in any meaningful fashion.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the CDC is now like, if you get test positive, you can quarantine on your 2 15-minute breaks.
Don't look up.
Right. It's just, I'm still just flabbergasted because, you know, that's my, where I'm a little Asperger-y is the bacteriology, epidemiology, virology frontier. I've been writing about pandemics ever since, and reading about them ever since I read The Stand by Stephen King when I was 10 years old. Mm. And I was like, we've talked about it before. I was like, oh God, here it comes, everybody. You know, get your non-perishables together and masks and gloves. And everybody was like, you're such an alarmist.
Yeah.
I'm an alarmist. I know.
You know, the biggest news story for me of 2021 is the inability for America to be able to accomplish great things. I think, and it's more conceptual in terms of a story, but it's, I think, the through line that connects both the insurrection and COVID and the incoming potential for fascism right around the corner here in this country. And that's why I think Don't Look Up was such an important movie. I feel like we've just lost sight of our collective ability to be able to accomplish something that needs to be accomplished. And I think maybe it's because, you know, there's all kinds of factors, social media. We've all, you know, kind of developed our own little corners of the internet where we have our own little cult followings and so on. And I think that separation has damaged our ability to work as a collective toward eliminating the pandemic, punishing the insurrectionists, preventing, you know, I think one of the biggest things from that movie was everyone screaming into the microphone, certainly Jennifer Lawrence and Leonardo DiCaprio say, we're all going to die. I feel like to a certain extent, I've spent this past year going, democracy is going to die. And that's
here like
on this show, we like to keep things
lady.
On the upside.
Exactly.
I know, not a very funny answer, but there
like
it is anyway.
We like the handsome scientist and not the crazy yelly lady.
Right. What about you, Rocky Mountain Mike? What was the biggest story of the year?
I think the unprecedented success of Brandon.
Oh,
wow. There you go.
Ouch.
And the normalization of the White House.
Yeah, you know what? That is a big deal. I think that's a very big
Brandon
deal.
Brandon won.
Yeah.
Brandon won.
It's, you know what? It's the normalization of the White House and the inability of the press to recognize the normalization of the White House.
Yeah.
And that's...
Here you go again with your half-empty thing.
It's been kind of appalling how they've tried to kneecap Kamala.
Yeah, it's
like this garbage reporting. I mean, Politico in particular has just been gunning for her, and it's like you guys are so threatened.
I actually got into it with a right winger on Facebook about he had responded to one of my Rocky Mountain Mike posts where it listed all the things that Biden had not done, which is he had not golfed, he had not insulted people, he had not said things that are wrong about science and so forth. And here's some guy, but everything went to hell.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, well, what was it? Was it the Standard & Poor's 500 reaching an all-time high just today? Was it the record low unemployment in 50 years? Was it the fact that we had the best Christmas in like 30 years.
I applaud that.
And he came back, and he came back with, they left those guys in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? The gas prices too. So the gas prices.
They're coming
down.
I live in Los Angeles. They're coming down.
We ended a 20-year war.
My point of all that is that in that person's, if you want to call it brain, the things he listed have way more weight than the economy being great, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
It's, some poor people died in Afghanistan. And, I had to pay a little more for gas for, like, 4 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
But that weighs so much heavier than this other stuff because of a certain, you know, news outlet that we are
with. Yeah, but it's also the distortion that occurred with the previous administration. But then when you have Joe Biden coming in, the Biden-Harris administration, what happens is the actual normal mistakes that an administration will make get amplified to the same level as the deeply abnormal, catastrophic mistakes of the previous guy. And so there becomes this ridiculous false equity, this false equivalence that we've all noticed. And that's what's one of the most frustrating things for me.
There's like a direct thing, though, also with the fact that the Trump administration was, while outwardly press hostile, was incredibly press friendly and that they were leaking like a sieve. And so they reporters in Washington didn't have to work as hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the people who are around the White House and, you know, CNN and the major networks, like, they were getting scoops constantly because people were calling out from the White House.
Right, right, right.
But, like, now they're having to really work, and they're trying, they're, like, nitpicking and
making stuff up.
Like, making shit up and, like, picking on Kamala for buying a freaking LaCroix pot.
Call her Bluetooth phobic because you can
hack into a Bluetooth. I want to change my story of the year to being the Fox News Christmas tree burning down.
You know, here's what I almost did. I almost did this year where I released a playlist of all of the best indie Christmas songs from some of our indie musicians here on the show. By the way, in a second, I want to give some recognition to some of those musicians. But I released this playlist, and I almost did a Yule Log video with it. And the Yule Log video was going to be the burning Fox News Christmas tree.
That'd be good.
Bob, and I got you the sweater, too.
That was awesome.
See,
thank you, David.
You're not Kathy Griffin, so you'd get away with that.
That's right. Well, I didn't burn the tree, Mike. It was someone else. I would take advantage of it for comedic purposes.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
When
celebrating
were you last
arson.
In New York, Bob? When were you last there?
So let's move on to Mary in Ann Arbor. Biggest news story of 2021. Yeah, biggest news
story. Well, obviously, I was going to, you know, I like everyone else, you know, January 6th, of course. But but really, the more I think about it, and the New York Times wrote about this, I think, yesterday, COVID fatigue.
Yeah.
Because on a global scale, I mean, this year I lost my only sibling that I am friends with anymore.
Oh, God.
Because I'm in a family of six, and the dad was a toxic Donald Trumper. Mm. He's gone now, but none of us talk to each other except my sister and I.
She
became a QAnoner.
Oh, no.
And so I just got tired of her, and I didn't say anything. I just stopped calling her and everything, and it seemed like every time I would talk to her on the phone, there was like some little thing that she was trying to bait us on.
Yes, and finally, they do that.
They have like these little weasel words that they have to say.
They do. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But finally, this last time she was coming up here to visit my Alzheimer's mom that's in a home up here that doesn't even know who we are anymore. But it's just family. Yeah. Things. Everybody's going through this in their 50s, right?
And I called Stephanie about losing my daughter to some idiot who got kicked out of the Navy because he wouldn't get his shot.
Oh my God.
And now he's hauling her to Eastern Tennessee from California.
Man.
So there's, you know, there goes her life.
Wow. I mean, I have at least two nieces and one niece and two nephews at least that refused to get vaccinated. One quit her job in order to not have to get vaccinated, and they all have children.
They all
I don't know, I'm pretty good on the internet finding stuff and you know, locating information, but I really can't figure out exactly where they're all on the same page about all these, like, JFK's coming back JFK Jr. right what did she say last time? I forgot to pick up the ivermectin from my doctor before coming back to Michigan. I just got so tired of it. I'm like, I know you guys are being trained to bait us liberals on these certain things, but I just can't play anymore.
Most of the people who are doing this have no life at all.
Yeah.
No. This is it. This is what they latch on to.
Right? Yep.
Yes, it's a spotlight for them.
The best thing I found, though, on Reddit, there is a QAnon casualties group, and it is sad and it's awesome at the same time.
Yeah.
But I've been reading a lot of stories on their people and their relatives and
God.
I was thinking about it. Do you remember when we first, like, I mean, any of us who were involved in Blogosphere 1.0, when we, you know, first started gathering friends and meeting people online, it was like this. I'm listening to Ayman Mohaddin's American Radical podcast. And I'm listening to the description of the woman who died in the crush in the tunnel at the Capitol. Boyland.
Yeah.
And like just how like out to lunch she was for those last 6 months after she went full QAnon and was just like glued to her phone and was talking to these people. And I just remember like how intimately connected I felt to my first batch of internet friends compelling that was and how people were like, you don't feel present right now, like, 'cause you're always on the computer. And I just, like, I was trying to put myself, like, I'm trying, just wondering, like,
I'm
what
not
going to
take a bullet for you, David.
but people were truly evangelized into these things.
Yeah, yeah. And it feels real to them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's, I think that also loops back into what I was talking about a second ago, which I've kind of collected under the umbrella of the American nervous breakdown. I mean, if I were to define our period of time here, we're talking about the last 6 years, maybe, certainly reaching a high watermark of the past two, is the American nervous breakdown. I feel like people are going indiscriminately nuts, and I haven't been able to quite put my finger on the idea as to whether it's because we're seeing it more because of video and the, you know, the fact that that kind of content tends to circulate, so it gets posted more often, or if it's something that is statistically genuine. And, you know, one of the things that Buzz and I have discussed on the Tuesday show a lot is, well, you know, the polling indicates that QAnon isn't quite as popular as it seems. And so maybe what we're seeing is just the loudness of it versus the quantity of it. Does that make any sense? Like, I think,
Yeah, and the media naturally gravitates toward the more sensation. If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I, on a more general sense, I have no doubt that Trump has made it, has given license to people to do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yes,
right.
And I think the common thread with all the people in January 6th was that they were just sort of waiting for something like this.
Permission.
Nuts.
Yeah. They got permission.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the guy who announced that he was leaving the medical profession, and he said, these people are unstable, irrational, stubborn, and they seem to crave violence.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
In some very real way, QAnon is just a slice of a giant fascist pie.
Yeah.
that's kind of going around the world. You know, that's
pie.
It's just our particular flavor of that.
Yeah. What do you think, Steve? What's the biggest news story of 2021?
Oh, geez. I kind of have to springboard off of Rocky Mountain Mike, and the quietest things are the biggest stories, and sort of the reestablishment of the American government. For me, they got that big statue up there. Do you remember during the Trump administration, like story after story, I'm sure you guys did too. You'd think to yourself, oh God, there's another thing we have to try to fix.
Oh yeah.
And now it's sort of like the end of the Cat in the Hat, where he's on a little bike, like quietly going around cleaning everything up. That's our American government right now, where we're trying to get departments to do what they did and bring experts back into those departments, people that quit in anger and shame and fear.
Horror.
And trying to get those experts actually back in. Yeah, I mean, the Justice Department was gutted pretty well.
Well, I mean, obviously the hope is that the pendulum will swing back all the way. And that's what the thing that is keeping me from taking a flying leap out the window is that concept that, you know, maybe we're seeing this really up close and we don't see the movement of the pendulum as readily as we would if we could take a step back and see it at 30,000 feet. But
there are signs that it's coming apart at the seams. And by it, I mean the Republican Party. They're fighting among them. They're eating their own now.
Yeah.
This is delightful and fun to watch and will work to our favor, especially if we exploit it. Yes.
Yeah.
My friend here in town, who is the chairman of the Democratic Party, posted this yesterday, that she hopes that more in our state, North Carolina, Democratic politicians really grab on to the idea that we need to show people that they are all about throwing away votes and elections, and they're all about this going to authoritarianism, as opposed to touting what Biden has done, because that just does not seem to be working.
Well, the ongoing problem there, Mike, is that I get the sense, and this is just my observation, this could be completely negated by broader movements that you don't necessarily see on social media, but I get the sense that as Democrats, we're more hesitant to rubber stamp what the party establishment is saying. And so I wonder if, getting into the idea of Democratic messaging, I wonder if Democratic messaging doesn't quite work, partly because, and I'm saying, I underscore partly, because we're just, or too many of us are just too hip to say, hey, look what the party is saying. Isn't that great?
I think you're right. But in a real way, we're still doing what we've always done. We have this idea that we can present clear facts, and somehow those facts are going to be strong enough to convince people that it's the right thing. And in a very real way, Trump was playing a completely different game the whole time, which was to appeal to really base emotions and anger and fear.
I'd like to say that in October, all we heard about was CRT.
Yeah.
And that's because there was an election coming up in November. And then as soon as Glenn Youngkin won, the guy in, I can't remember the other state, didn't win. The Republican didn't
win.
In New Jersey.
Thank you very much. Yeah. But the CRT stopped. So now, as we go into 2022.
As we
go into 2022, it's already starting, and we're going to hear it. Yeah. And I do think Democratic voters would be happy to share whatever the Democratic Party puts out, as long as it's as hard-hitting but the truthful version of CRT.
Yeah, right.
And so we don't want to...
And defund the police thing, the idea that was somehow our platform.
Right.
That resonated with every Republican in the world. They all thought that.
Well, that's the thing. If Democrats come up with a good slogan, if Democrats come up with a good way to fight the fascism, the white supremacy, by calling it out, by naming it, and having a... It's got to be quick. Just CRT is quick. You can hashtag CRT and it's quick. We need, like for instance, I was talking to Bob about this and he said, yes, like maybe the Democrats could hit hard how we're banning books. I don't know if that's what it's going to take, but it's got to take something gut punching from our side. Mm-hmm. And I do think Democratic voters would get along, go along with the party if the party has a really good slogan or line.
Al Franken used to joke, Democrats have their bumper sticker and then... They have one thing, and then they say, see next bumper sticker.
Right.
Yeah.
We should counter CRT with HDMI.
I think we should do both. I think we need to tout the things that have been accomplished. Because here's why. Because it's for the record. So we need to get it on the record, the evil that the Republicans are doing. We need to be out there talking about how they're stealing your right to vote. And therefore fascists.
Yeah.
But also at the same time talking about the good things that have been done. We can absolutely do both, and we should do both. Mm-hmm. But
we
need to hammer harder. We need to hammer harder. We need to find our own CRT issue for the Republicans.
How much does Frank Luntz cost?
I know.
There are other messaging guys who are more affordable than Frank Luntz, and probably nicer guys who don't have psychotic Oval offices in their bedroom. Buzz, what was the? I mean, you're the quintessential newsman among us. What was the biggest news story of 2021?
Well, not being a conservative editor, but being perhaps more moderate, as I like to think, or by some measure liberal journalist, editor. I have to pick the insurrection, January 6th, and here's why, because. And it's so hard to pick a favorite, but it's just an honor to be nominated. In order to do the big things that you're talking about, you need a leader, we've got a good one in Joe Biden. We can probably do better in the future, but we're off to a very good start.
Yeah.
In order to do those big things, you've got to have a democracy. In order to address the pandemic and the pandemic anxiety across the country, you've got to have a democracy. In order to address the climate, you've got to have a working democracy. And the only way to do that is for us to win and defeat the Republicans, eliminate the Republican Party by calling it out for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, and stay safe.
Hey, who's got their own buttons here? Wait a second. Who's stepping on my toes? Come on.
It sounds like Mike.
Yeah.
I'm going Mike.
Sorry. That was the battle hymn of the Republic. I was trying to get it in there under him, but it didn't chew it up right.
Well, thank you.
It worked.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, moving on to our best pop culture things of 2021. I'm going to start here. I was just talking about TV series, feature films, even some documentaries, and of course, I got to talk about some of our indie bands here in the show. As far as TV series from 2021, Man, it's hard to pick anything that comes anywhere close to Ted Lasso season two. But you know what? The White Lotus on HBO came damn close to be, oh my God, what a wonderful little slice of life story. Kind of a semi whodunit, a commentary on privilege, commentary on class, all woven into this absurdist story in which Jennifer Coolidge just steals the whole damn thing.
She's so good.
She was so funny and so entertaining in that series. Everyone was, but of course, Jennifer Coolidge steals the show invariably.
But that last show. Oh my God. That was
the last episode with
I got to check it out.
It's really good. Oh my God, is it really good? It's somewhere, you know where it is tonally? It's somewhere between a Coen Brothers movie and Napoleon Dynamite. Basically, the setup is it's a resort in Hawaii, and then all these weird guests who come into the resort to stay there and the problems that they're confronting. And then, of course, the maitre d', the guy, the concierge at the hotel, and his problems and how he interacts with the guests. Wonderful, wonderful miniseries. And they're going to do that. They've renewed it for a second season. They're going to do an anthology series where they go to different other White Lotus resorts with a different cast.
Put it on my list.
Yeah, we also loved Dope Sick for different reasons, mainly because, you know, there was one of those things with Dope Sick where I just was not aware of the extreme nature of what was going on. It wasn't one of those stories. The opioid epidemic wasn't one of those stories that was necessarily on my radar as much as it should have been. I mean, obviously I was aware of it going on and who some of the perpetrators might have been. Mayor of Easttown seems like a million years ago that was on, but that was also 2021. And of course I loved the Marvel shows. Hawkeye, Loki, WandaVision were all good. Hacks, we also watched Hacks this year, which was outstanding. And one we just started recently, which has been around for a couple of seasons so far, which is an alternative history show called For All Mankind, where the setup is the Soviets get to the moon before the Americans do, and how that affected history, how that affects the space program. And so we're still working our way through season one on that, so that was really good.
Where is that? Where can I get that?
That is Apple. I think it's
so
Apple
good. TV. That's really good.
Yeah. In terms of feature films, obviously Don't Look Up. We spend quite a bit of time talking about that one because it's certainly worthy of it. I'm a big nerd, so I also love Zack Snyder's Justice League. Spider-Man No Way Home was incredible.
I haven't seen that. I hear it's fantastic.
It's now surpassed $1 billion in box office. Yeah. Especially with COVID, which is insane that it made that much money. A movie that doesn't get a lot of conversation right now because it was earlier on in the year, but Bob Odenkirk's action movie, Nobody.
I love that movie.
Holy crap, was that a hell of a movie.
Love that movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're into Bob Odenkirk.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely right. And it was kind of a superhero movie. I always categorize the series Dexter. I always thought of Dexter as kind of a superhero type character, like a Batman-style vigilante. And it's the same with Nobody. By the end, you get the sense that maybe this guy's some kind of superhero. And then The Many Saints of Newark. We really love that one, the prequel film to The Sopranos. In terms of documentaries, I loved Roadrunner, Fake Famous, which was a real eye-opener in terms of Instagram and some social media influencers and how they buy their status. Really informed how I look at some of the right-wing podcasters, people like Ben Shapiro and Dan Bongino and Charlie Kirk, and where maybe, much like the subjects of Fake Famous, maybe those podcasters are artificially inflating their status. Much
shocking.
Like,
Sean and I did. Remember Ray helped us with the Ham and Legs show on MySpace? Mm-hmm. Yep. He kept just like giving us, it was insane.
So you're guilty, Jody. You're
In 2009.
Yeah, yeah. And then
so they didn't really film a porn in your
I'd like a pardon.
They did really. No, they did do that. No, Mike, they did do that. I'll send you a copy of it.
Yeah. And then Alan V. Farrow, which was another eye opener in terms of the Woody Allen, Mia Farrow, Ronan Farrow, Dylan Farrow story.
Yeah.
Shocking and
disturbing.
And then I want to mention some of our indie artists here and their singles from this past year. We had a bunch of new songs that were released. I know one of our favorites, Freak Bass, has released a single, I think, every month since the pandemic started. So it's been great. If you're a Freak Bass fan, it's been great. But he came out with a single this past spring when we were all thinking, oh, the pandemic's over. And so he produced a song called Get Down, which is kind of a party song. And that was a wonderful single. Bob Malone released a great song called Good People this year, also the name of his album. One of our favorites, Marina Rocks, released a song called Joyride that skyrocketed up the indie charts. We're happy to be part of that. Michael McDermott released an album called What in the World, as well as a couple of singles from that album. A definite must-have as far as our indie musicians go. Trisette and Three Mind Blight had our Song of the Summer this past year with Situations, the Brother Fresh and the Dark Man remix of that song. That was great. Feed Your Wolves, there's a brand new recording artist to the show from Northeast England, and a song called Hurricane. And then one of our favorites, going back to the very beginning of our featuring indie music on the show, Megan McDuffie and her single, which I thought was really appropriate for the times, a song called You're Not Alone. So a big round of applause for all of our indie musicians. I just named a few here, and there are so many others. Seth Adam, Jesse Terry, so many great, Rebecca Dreskin, just so many great musicians here on the show, and I'm so grateful to be able to feature them. So let's maybe take one lap around and see, like, your favorite TV show, favorite movies, anything that pops to your mind. Let's start with Kimberly.
Well, you basically named all the ones that I
had. Oh, yeah, because we watched them together. So, but forget it.
Well, wait. One of them, though, is Cobra Kai, because I love Cobra Kai. Yeah. Cobra Kai. And the new season starts tomorrow.
Yeah, so,
I know.
Yes, and I said Ted Lasso, and you know what? I could only remember. There's so, you know, I forgot Dope Sick. How could I forget Dope Sick? Yeah. How could I forget so many of them? But I have Ted Lasso, Mayor of Easttown, White Lotus, and Cobra Kai.
Yeah, there you go. Excellent. Let's see. Jody Hamilton. Any favorites from this year?
TVs,
movies, any sort of pop culture.
Sexy Squirters 4.
there we go.
The Revenge of the Squirt. Okay, so Succession.
I understand there's a great prequel to that has the origin story.
It does. How everybody met, it's beautiful. I'm waiting for that, like prequel to Foundation. Yeah. Totally have that. No, as far as TVs are concerned, because I watch my stories, Succession and Billions, just hands down. Mayor of Easttown, obviously. Yes. Hacks, I loved. Jean Smart should win all the awards.
Yeah, I love Hacks.
Yeah, she's great.
She's just fantastic. Recently, no spoilers on the Boba Fett, because
I'd watched it yesterday, and it shows him in the bowels of the Great Sarlacc.
Oh, wait, spoilers!
And what was interesting was
I'm
not giving anything away.
I'm cutting all of this. I'm cutting all of this out. Yes,
everybody,
you are.
He got out, right? But what was interesting,
oh, that's true. Yeah,
when he was in there, he found a Confederate time capsule.
But no pictures of Abe Lincoln.
That was worth it. All right, that was worth it. That's staying in. All right.
I did watch the first 20 minutes of it, and that's it. Because then Lonnie came in, and I said, no, Boba Fett's starting. And he goes, yeah, I would be excited if I were 11.
It's only a half hour.
Oh. And I'm like, fuck you, Lonnie.
Hello. I'm 11. I'm your host, and I'm 11.
Exactly.
Let's go, Lonnie.
What do you think, Buzz? Your best pop culture from 2021.
I don't have a list. I liked Hacks. I liked a lot of the things that were mentioned. I'll tell you a favorite. I think, and because they're of its importance, Ted Lasso has to be the best television show this year because it's what we needed. It was the kindness we needed, and also the movie Don't Look Up for its importance. It could have been made better. Yes, maybe different names could have been on it, but it's important, and therefore I think that movie and that TV show have to make the list.
Absolutely. Oh yeah.
And I noticed nobody mentioned Keenan.
I don't know if you're being serious.
The kitty movie. What?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Keenan Thompson has his own sitcom now.
Oh. Yeah. Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the part we'll edit out.
That's still like Good Burger.
Yeah. What do you think, David? Your best pop culture of 2021?
Man, I was such a sci-fi nerd this year. Like, my favorite things were watching a lot of Korean science fiction. There's a series with a lot of the same people from Squid Game that is called The Silent Sea.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm watching right now, and it's. But I thought Squid Game was really good and deserved all the hype.
Yeah.
Visually, I just think it was so fucked up and amazing, and like just it's the, just the whole like black presence with the pink ribbons as coffins.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have no idea how hard I scoured my town for black wrapping paper. I couldn't find any in time for Christmas, but next Christmas, I didn't want you to be relevant. Whose phone is vibrating?
Yeah, whose phone keeps ringing?
Yeah, who's doing that?
It's not mine. Not mine.
Because we've all reached over and touched our phones at this point.
I know. That's what I was doing.
My phone is in another room, like a good old person. Yeah, it's in another room.
David, I believe Jody is a showrunner for Squirt Games.
Yes, I am.
What about you, Mike? What's your best pop culture?
I didn't even mention my movie.
Okay, David still.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it doesn't matter. No one likes me.
Movie, let's hear your movie. What's your favorite movie from 2020?
I loved Kate. Even though like Woody Harrelson was playing the same role he's played in like three other films.
Yeah.
And like, you know, spoiler alert, he turns out to be the bad guy. But it just, I thought it was visually so delicious. And I just love Japan. And like,
I've never heard of this. What is it called? Kate?
K-A-T-E, yeah. And it's on Netflix. And it is, if you liked Atomic Blonde.
Okay.
Like, hot chick kicks much ass, murders people left and right. Like, all your, like, rage that you've been, like, stuffing down inside can come out for the 2.5 hours it takes to watch the movie. Mm. That's your movie.
Wow. Like, holy shit.
If you like watching, like, hot chicks knife people in the neck. And not, cool. Like, I don't mean, like, you know, I mean hot, like Sigourney Weaver and Alien hot.
All right, Mike, your favorite pop culture from 2021?
Well, everybody mentioned Hacks, and yeah. I gotta go with that. And I'm actually trying to Google the damn name of the movie now because I can't remember.
I know, I can't do a list out of my head.
Yeah. Wait a second. And I liked you mentioned Nobody. That was one of my favorites for sure.
Mm.
And there's a Western that came out just a few weeks ago called Old Henry.
Yeah.
That is.
Is that a prequel? Is that the prequel to Yellowstone? Is that what that is? Am I getting that wrong?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all.
It's
Tim Blake Nelson. Tim Blake Nelson is at the turn of the century, and he's a homesteader, and he's got a really interesting backstory, and that's all I'll say. But it's a surprisingly good movie.
He, you know, perpetually looks like he's from 100 years ago. He just has that look, that face, you know? He looks just like he's out of some sort of turn of the century silent movie, right?
And you know what? That actually plays into the movie. So.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Did you have
I was going to say, the most important video for me was how to install a brake controller on an F-150.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe we'll incorporate YouTube next year, Mike. We'll throw that in there.
It is amazing what you can find out how to do.
Oh, yeah, I know. What about you,
no
Mary?
What kind of...
Oh, well, we are a bit of an animation household around here. Steve's an animation historian
guy, which is something that I need to speak with Steve about at length because I also
am
an
animation
nerd.
Have one of your Wednesday
shows,
man. Yeah. Yeah, you need to do Steve.
Absolutely.
But I didn't get a lot of love. I really enjoyed Raya and the Last Dragon, the Disney CG thing. But I'm more of the camp that all of their stuff, they need to go back with all their CG stuff and redo it in traditional animation.
Yes, thank you.
Because
I agree.
That would be fantastic. And Steve says...
Well, that's kind of what's happening right now.
They're thinking
Disney,
about it.
Although it's pretty quiet, Disney's training a whole bunch of 2D animators right now. That's kind of the, you know, I teach at an art school, and so they're recruiting as many people as they can that can draw well to try to sort of revitalize that area of the company.
Oh,
that's
God,
pretty cool.
So nice
Good.
To hear.
Lonnie draws really
Polar
well.
Polar Express traumatized me, and I was 20 when it came out.
It traumatized everybody.
anytime you see Disney or, you know, Disney/Pixar, you are seeing the state of the art, and I always say you should be able to go in the theater and see what is really, like, now the newest technology in CG.
Yeah.
And I've always felt that way seeing their stuff because they hire the best people. It isn't because there's, like, magic in the studio. It's just that they hunt down all these kids that are, like, the best of the best.
Yeah.
And they know, you know, how to find these people. Steve sees them at the school. But anyway, for live-action movies, I really enjoyed King Richard about Venus and Serena Williams.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
I am not into tennis at all, and I got sucked in the first minute. I'm like, okay, I'm in this world with tennis, and tennis is like an afterthought. It's the relationships. It's so good. And Will Smith just walks away with it, man.
Yeah.
I like Swan Song about the aging. He was like a drag performer, or he's just an old gay guy, and he goes back to oh God, what a little town in Ohio on the lake. Not
near,
Cleveland.
Near Akron, not
too far. It's like a little crappy town, and he's like just revisiting like people that he knew back in the day, and I don't know. It's just a little character piece.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was really good. Oh. And Falling for Figaro was filmed actually in Tuscany, and it's about an American girl who's never really sang professional opera, but she's got a great voice, and she goes to the school out there to learn how to sing opera. And it's just a beautiful film. It's on location, and, you know, she enters this opera contest.
What's the name?
Falling for Figaro.
Falling for Figaro.
Yep.
And what about you, what about you, Steve? I assume there's some overlap here with Mary.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, we've watched all of them together. But then there were documentaries that were pretty cool too. I think Under the Volcano was pretty amazing.
I haven't seen that.
The Virgin Studios.
Totally worth seeing. And I really liked the Sparks Brothers movie. I don't know if it was necessarily a great movie, but there were so many great moments in it.
What do you think, Buzz? Yeah. What would you say?
Undernoticed is a short series called McCartney 321 on Hulu.
Yeah. Which, that was really good. Yeah.
And, yeah, in many ways, I learned more from that. I really enjoyed it.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to Boba Fett meets the Ricardos.
Don't give the WandaVision people
any that joke. And Scooter Cans out there on Twitter said, I really look forward to him doing Boba Loo.
credit to Scooter.
So before we wrap up here, we are running a little bit late, which is fine.
What?
But
I
wanted to talk. You know, this year I introduced a P.O. box to the show where people can now send us things here in Germantown. Guten Tag, mein Fräulein and Fraus.
Now if you dance.
The P.O. box. Yeah, in case you're keeping track, the P.O. box is P.O. box 481, Germantown, Maryland. Guten Tag. 20875
right next
is
to the Hitler burger.
Zip code. Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is my favorite Stephanie Miller Show jingle by Rocky Mountain Mike. The oh my God, yeah. The Hitler burger
Let's
jingle.
Let's go down to the Hitler burger.
I produced that in 10 minutes.
Have myself my lunch.
Back in 2012, they were talking about Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And how they were, and Jim Ward made the joke about Hitler burger, and I already had the bed ready, and I was on my way to work.
Yeah.
And I just ducked in. I swear I spent 4 minutes on it.
Right.
And they had it on the air in 20 minutes after you made that.
Wonderful, wonderful. I love it. So let's do this.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
More like Christmas gifts.
Mailman. Mail today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, normally we have a no food policy for the P.O. box. But we received a note from Dan and Lynn. They're the owners and proprietors of Big Little Brittle Incorporated. That's biglittlebrittle.com if you want to support them on the internet and sample some of their peanut brittle. The note here says, Bob, me and the wife are big fans of the show and subscribers. We started our little brittle biz about 18 months ago, so it's a brand new business. You'll have to ride your bike a bit to burn this off, but enjoy. Happy holidays from Dan and Lynn at Big Little Brittle. So thank you for that. Nice. And strangely enough, you know, my favorite brittle, I sampled all the brittles, and my favorite brittle is called Buzz.
When you say Buzz,
Buzz.
You've said it all.
Does it have coffee?
You know what? I think it does. It's like dark. It looks like the reason I went to it first is it looked like chocolate to me. So I just went right for that. But they've got several varieties: Northwoods, Holiday, of course, Buzz, as I just mentioned, Beach, Diablo, Maya, and of course the classic, the perennial favorite peanut brittle.
Diablo, are you a little sure that you want to drink something called Diablo?
And again, that's biglittlebrittle.com.
Supper's ready. Brittle's on.
Supper's ready. Diablo's on.
One of our Patreon subscribers, William Refsland, sent me not only a lovely note that made me tear up a little bit when I was reading it. It was so nice to hear. But it was also the sincerity and the thoughtfulness of the gift itself. You know, I've talked in the past on the show about how, you know, I lost a lot of my shit to a house fire when I was 10 years old. I lost my Star Wars collection and everything like that. All got melted like Shrinky Dinks. Kind of a tragic story. And William went into his storage space or his garage or something like that and dug up some toys, some sci-fi toys from the 1970s, and sent them to me, including two walkie-talkie Star Trek communicators, which he sent along here.
Nice. Cool.
Plus a model of the original USS Enterprise, NCC-1701. And,
can you talk to Tim Allen on one of
them? That's exactly right. And so I'm so grateful to William for those things and for the thoughtfulness of it.
Nice.
I also received... let me reach out and grab this.
You're not going to read us the note? Oh, you're not going to read us the note?
I could read the note. Yes. I think I will. It says, Dear Bob Seska, it's a page long, so stand by. Dear Bob Seska, I wanted to thank you and all of your co-hosts and guest hosts for making life so much easier to deal with. Kimberly's humor and strength bringing such strong joy to your life and a partnership that seems to bring vibrance to both of you. Buzz's news savvy and his showstopper monologue. Jody for being both educated and educating in ways to make me cry or laugh with hope. Honestly, a happy e-crush, totally simp for her. It's cool. I'm safe. I'm married and super happy. And a crush is all I hope for. David is also worthy of a crush with that voice and stunning wit. But he is married and I am straight. But a guy like that can make any heart bendy.
Wow.
All in all, this is a light and mild love letter to all of you. People do not say love nearly enough, and they don't recognize the value of all the levels of such expression. With all the damage that is done in lives, it also sometimes loses meaning. The work you all do, all the kindness, energy, humor, and hope you all share makes the world a brighter place. I have yelled, laughed, cried, and even argued with you as I listened for years now. Every moment is a blessing. The gifts I sent you are of memories. I won't be flooding you with stuff. Just a small thing here or there to increase your nerd hoard. That's appropriate. I think you said you lost a few things a while ago. Well, I found a few things from my childhood, and I am blessed enough without them. So maybe this will be a happy memory blast from the past. And certainly it sure as shit was. We may disagree of the best Star Trek shows, but because I criticized Discovery. But we land side by side on the awesomeness of The Great Awakening. Gene Roddenberry's idea that humankind can wake from its own bad potentials, it is one of the philosophies that shaped my efforts to influence the world around me. Wow. I would love to send each of your co-hosts similar gifts if they would be open for such contact. I figured send to you, and you can vouch for my taste, sanity, or lack thereof, so they know it's safe. It's a safe package to open. With all the crazy going on, I would always want to be aware of boundaries and comfort for those I hold in such esteem. Wow. I hope this improves your day in any way. If so, I consider it a high honor. You can read this on your show if you think people would get a chuckle. You need not respond at all. Any correspondence would be happily received, for as I said above, avid fan. I do respect that if you did that with every fan, it would be a full-time job. So again, I have no expectations. Patreon fan, cheap but consistent level. I catch you whenever I can elsewhere. Have the absolute best of seasons, brightest of days, and as long and healthy a life as can be mustered. Yeah, live long and prosper, but cliche after honest wishes are expressed. You truly make the world a better place. Be well, William Refsland. Thank you, William. Holy shit. Wonderful.
I'm not crying.
God.
I am. Holy cow. But, you know, you what else is that? New? T-Rex is crying.
I also.
What about Sean and Mike and Mary and Steve?
I have to express, and this really gets back to Stephanie too. I have to express my appreciation for the existence of both of their programs.
Absolutely. But,
because everybody tells me this all the time, that you helped me through this craziness and everything.
Yes.
And I cannot even imagine what my life would be like, you know, in this period. period of my life if it weren't for Stephanie Miller and all the things that sprouted out of that, like Bob.
Oh, my God,
I mean, it really, I had lost, oh, my God, a handful of friends in short order beginning about 15 years ago. And all of a sudden, just like that, I had nobody to talk to. I had nobody that shared my interest in anything.
Wow.
Yeah. And through this show and all of its various permutations, I've magically, you know, you can't replace them, but I've found people that that do very nicely.
And of course, with Stephanie, that is the she's the center of our universe, and she's the person who I think has brought us all together. We all wouldn't be sitting here with the audience that we have if it wasn't for the support of Stephanie Miller and her welcoming us into that extended universe. And I think we're all
in her leaky in some basement. Way part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So
isn't that the best and maybe most surprising thing about what we do? To hear from people, you know, you made getting through a certain period easier.
Yes.
Wow, I never expected that, and it's also not only the most unexpected, but the best. Part of what we do.
Absolutely.
Musicians live for that shit. When people tell you that they listen to your song again and again and again and it helped them hang on. I'm getting all choked up talking about it.
Yep.
Yeah. I used to get a smidgen of it when I was a radio disc jockey. I would get that, you know, oh, you helped me through the night or whatever, you know. But it just doesn't have the same, it doesn't ring as true because there I'm sitting there, I'm paid to play the same records. I have no say in what I play or very little in what I say.
But you're there.
Now, here I am recording exactly what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody censors me at all.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, so when people say that helped me out, that means so much more to me.
Yeah.
Just being there.
Because they got it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And that's, I have to double that. I have to repeat that, Mike, for our Patreon subscribers.
Yes.
Without whom I wouldn't be sitting here doing this show. This show moves on our Patreon page. And I am so immensely grateful for the support of, you know, these 1,200 people. They're everything. They're the audience. They're the program directors in a certain way. There's a wonderful community of commenters on our Patreon page who I always look forward to seeing their comments under each show. And this show wouldn't be what it is if it weren't for our Patreon subscribers. So so grateful for all of you guys. Meantime, I got another gift here, a vintage Star Wars. It looks like a commemorative magazine
that
came out.
You're just showing off now. This is like when you go to the rich kid's house. The day after Christmas, and he's like, look, my parents gave me a Corvette. And,
I have a Ferrari. I have a pony.
I got some socks.
Well,
nice, Bob. We like your presents.
Well, this Star Wars promotional magazine was sent to me from the Prices, Tom Price and Audrey Price, who also wrote a wonderful little note here. It says, hello, Bob. Of course, mimicking the
hello,
Rachel Maddow thing at the top of the show.
Hello, Bob.
By the way, those of you who don't know, she's not saying hello to me. She was talking about a completely separate Bob, Robert Costa.
Get headline of the day, Muggsy. Though.
Yes, I did. That is absolutely real. Yes, yes.
But in a very real way, she's now said hello to you more than she ever said hello to him.
That's right. And she doesn't even know.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Emily.
Yeah. So, hello, Bob. I can't remember if the Star Wars program was sold or given away at the first screenings, but it is one of the very first Star Wars collectibles. I think the first would be the Howard Chaykin poster sold at San Diego Comic-Con in 1976, but the programs have the charm of being produced for a film that we expected to be a flop. I have an extra copy of it and thought you might dig it. Just a wonderful, wonderful gift. I really hope you will reconsider watching Star Trek Discovery. What is it? I mean,
what is it?
I am so off the beaten path when it comes to Star Trek right now. It isn't perfect, but there is much to love about it, and the casting of Anson Mount as Captain Pike, the original captain of the Enterprise, is one of the strongest reasons to give it another watch. He is quite possibly the best Star Trek captain in the history of this long-running franchise. There is a reason they give such a new series called Star Trek Strange New Worlds. It is because his character proved to be so popular with the fans. At the very least, watch the episodes where he and the Enterprise are part of the story. I promise you will love it. Anyways, love the show, and you, Buzz, Jody, David, Kimberly, have really become a fixture in our weekly lives. We listen to you for breakfast for dinner each week. breakfast and dinner. That is wonderful. That's just such a great. Yes. I love it. I love to hear that when people have incorporated the show into their routines. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Tom Price and Audrey Fisher Price. So thank you to the Price.
So they listen to you at Paramount Fisher Public Price. Relations. That's
yeah. And so one last thing. You know what? Someone sent me a blanket that is print has got all of the Rush album covers, a quilt, with all of the Rush album covers printed on it. And wow. There is no sender. I don't know who sent this to me. Wow. So if
it was Geddy Lee.
From the grave.
Who, by the way, follows me on Instagram.
Yeah, Geddy's exactly. alive. Yeah.
Geddy's alive, honey. Yeah. Alive. Neil's yeah. gone, but so, Geddy's alive.
So thank you, Geddy. I'm just going to assume it was Geddy Lee. So.
Yeah, it was Geddy Lee. It had to be. He knows where German sounds.
He knows where German.
If it wasn't from Andrew Jackson, it'd have smallpox.
That's what it is. It's a smallpox blanket from Project Veritas. And they knew that no one else would be like nerdy and awful enough to like cuddle up to the Rush quilt. Well, Kimberly at least won't be collateral damage.
Oh, man.
It's got a tiny microphone in each one of those U's.
Well,
and some poutine spilled on.
That does it for our big New Year's Eve extravaganza. I hope you all enjoyed it. And thank you to the entire troupe, all of you guys, for being such a wonderful and an integral part of this show. I couldn't do it without you guys.
It's a pleasure.
I mean that.
Thank you, Bob. It was super fun.
With all the love in the world, thank you to all of you, except Kimberly.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. So that's going
to
do it.
Thank you, Bob, for having us. But also just thank you to all the listeners.
Yes.
We have made it through another god-awful year.
We love you.
Let's shrug this off like Aretha Franklin dropping her fur on the stage at the Kennedy Awards.
That's right.
And Scarecrow, I think I'll miss you the most.
Take care, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.